here we go. It's hour number one of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day. We got another four-hour show coming up here for you, followed by Rangers baseball. They're in St. Louis to take on the Cardinals, and we're excited to talk about that with you, as well as the other big sports stories from today. General at your service, at ease. Brian's out. He might join us during the show, although looking at the text, we've all told him, buddy, just take care of Pops.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You know Broadus.
Yeah, he's a workaholic.
On my
way to the studio now.
No
Thank
way.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, all right.
Oh, what a legend. So, yeah, Broadus will be here, and I guess Krusty's Corner's coming up at 3:40. Salute to Big Larry. It's Pops.
Yep.
Back home, rested, apparently.
Doing well.
Okay, we'll get an update on that here before too long. Lucius Alexander's in the Pimp Cup Master Control here, 75 and 635. Fix it to go four flawless inside the Lakeside Studios. Do you have Eric Chiafalo and Zach Wolchuk, your nosebleed brothers? Aiden Butler, still not here, but you can watch us. Looks like the software is up and running over there.
It's running.
So we're in good shape. All right, let's take a look at these sports stories. Micah Parsons going to start the year on PUP. That's official?
Yes, that is what the report is from Green Bay. He just talked to the media, so Ian Rappaport has shared that, as have others. But he, it's basically the timeline. Like, they have a nine-month rule there, recovering from the ACL. So he said he's 5 months into his ACL rehab, and he has 4 months to go. So that they have a strict nine-month rule, especially for players who had more than just the ACL tear. He also had a meniscus procedure as well.
Ooh.
So he will for sure not be eligible to return until their week five game against Chicago. Most likely, it is set up perfectly for Micah to make his season debut against the Dallas Cowboys in week six on Sunday Night Football.
You know, that would make sense. I guess it's not official. There can be complications, especially when the meniscus gets involved as well.
True. Yeah.
You know, and it gets degenerative. Is that what happened with Jermaid McCoy, I believe?
I think you're right.
So that's a complicating factor. I would expect Micah Parsons to come back and be amazing by week six, but at least the door creaks open a little bit. It's interesting they're talking about that already. Usually teams like to, you know, push it out and kind of string you along. And then Ian Rappaport is saying Josh Sweat's going to stay in Arizona, so do we have to continue our conversation somewhere else when it comes to shopping for a future Cowboys edge at this point? What do you think?
Look, there's been a lot of smoke about this, and I do think there's an element to national reporters starting to get ticked off at some of these beat writers or local bloggers that now are privy to information. Like, I've seen it firsthand. Yeah. We've got a lot of awesome Cowboys content creators, and they make friends with players and other people in the building, and they get information.
Yeah.
And oftentimes, sometimes they get stuff and they hear things that end up being very true, and then they put it out there and it starts gaining steam, and then somebody else has to come and kind of, you know, put some cold water on that.
Yeah.
I do believe Josh Sweat is going to end up getting moved. Will it happen today? I don't know. But, hey, Ian is plugged in. So if Ian's saying it, maybe he won't. But I think that there's just too much smoke there for it not to have some type of legs.
Yeah, the content creators are really good at building relationships, and you know, they're their own private business people. They're small business owners. They're grinding. Oftentimes, they're younger. They're more tuned into the internet and the social media, so they're engaging with the players there, and they're on their side. So I think the players look at content creators more as, you're my supporter, you're on my side, and traditional media is either trying to blow things up, make controversy, or, you know, it's not in my best interest to tell them stuff. So I would not be surprised if right now we are living in a world where over the next 10 years, like, content creators become the straw that stirs the drink in sports media. Independent content creators.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I could see that just for all the reasons you mentioned. You see some of the players really enjoy that dynamic of those content creators who are not trying to play gotcha with them.
Yeah.
And so they develop those relationships. And if you're able to get, I mean, you see national reporters that do have some of the, like, Jay Glazer's a guy who's super plugged in with the players,
mm-hmm.
you know, and Glazer's a little bit interesting because he's obviously plugged in with front offices and stuff as well. But when players start to attach themselves to certain reporters, and in this case, it could be the content creators, I could see that happening for sure.
Yeah. So it's cool because it gives us here on the radio more pipelines of information for us to react to. It flushes out the picture a little bit. So instead of the team deciding what information they want to give to us with what spin they want to attach to it, you have a way of hearing from the players a little bit more. And, you know, sometimes they're their own content creators,
yeah,
and share their own perspective on things. So it's an outstanding time to be alive and be consuming this sports content. Rangers win in the ninth again. Incredible job in the bottom of the eighth with runners on the corners and no outs of a tie game. Jalen Beeks gets the two outs. Then Cal Quantrill gets the third to preserve the tie. Did anybody else get 2023 vibes right there?
Mm-hmm.
Like Baltimore and Tampa? Oh, no. Aroldis Chapman just walked the first two batters. What the hell are we going to do here? And then you just watch as you get pop up, strike out, fly out, and you're like, are you kidding me?
It was pretty incredible. And I was like, Evo, leave Evo in. It's fine. He's going to be able to dance out of this. And then he clearly just kind of lost it. And then Jalen Beeks is able to just tap dance out of the danger.
That was beautiful.
I was stressing when Beeks came in the game.
I was too.
It's gotten away from him a little bit as of late. But that was a fantastic job by him.
And then our guy Cal Quantrill continues to be awesome.
Yes, Cal Quantrill is amazing.
He's great.
Yeah, salute to Cal Quantrill.
And Jock, man. What the hell's going on with him?
He's dialed. I think he's I think he's made the strategic adjustment that I want Corey Seager to make. Oh, I'm old. I have to change my swing. And early on, he's just making contact. He's slapping it around, but it's got momentum to it. And now he's figured out with his new approach how to put a little bit more charge into it. So we're getting some yard work from him. But also he's clutch and he's confident. And to do that in back-to-back games, it really changes how I think we could look at this offense, you know, moving forward.
I agree, man. I mean, if Peterson's going to continue the run that he's on right now, and you have a couple of these other guys that have stepped up in a pretty big way, the Durans of the world, and even what Nicky Lopez has been able to do, but Josh Young, some of these guys.
Alejandro Osuna.
Yeah, Osuna.
And he had a big-time RBI last night, and now the conversation is going to really be, what do you do with Evan Carter and Osuna? Because you're about to get Wyatt back. Like, I do think Wyatt's and Seager will probably be back this weekend for Cleveland. And so Osuna's technically been better against righties lately than what Evan Carter's been. Both of them not great against lefties. But Osuna's a guy that, I mean, his energy's infectious. Evan Carter's clearly a better defensive player, but, like, what do you do there? And for them, it's probably we're sticking with Evan Carter. It's not really a topic. But I do wonder. I'd be interested in Jared's thoughts at 3 o'clock.
I do enjoy this Jalen Beeks, though, even though it's streaky and it's chaotic at times. He just seems like the good old boy that you grew up with. I mean, he's got like the biggest beer belly in baseball, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He's just like, well, yeah, I'm good at sports. I'll see you at the park. You know, maybe we'll drink a 12-pack afterwards.
And I love his pitching motion, too. Like, the way he just kind of, like, reaches back and then he just rips it every single time. So, yeah, it'd be nice if he could just be consistent.
Well, the only downside last night, that scoreless streak came to an end. Evaldi gave up a couple. Our guy Duran didn't have a hit, but he did get on base with a walk. It'll be Mackenzie Gore against Andre Pallante. 6 o'clock pregame tonight, 6:45 first pitch. I might be mispronouncing that name. I'm sure Sands will correct me on that. He's going to join us coming up at 3 o'clock here on The Fan. If you're watching the webcam, you saw Brian Broaddus just saunter into the studio. Salute to you. He'll get settled.
I think it's Pionte.
Pionte?
I'm just ballsacking.
Pionte?
I'll do some research on this.
NBA Finals underway tonight. One of the main stories is, are the Spurs too emotional? Wemby crying after winning the West. He said at yesterday's practice shoot-around thing that they had 30 more hours to settle down and lock in to sort of process the emotional 7-game victory in OKC. And I think I like the awareness of Wemby, knowing that we're riding an emotional high right now and we have to get back to baseline if we're going to play at our best. You know, when you're riding high like that, it's a prime recipe for a massive letdown, no matter what part of life you are in. I think the other storyline is Russ going to be a factor for the Bockers, who haven't played in 9 days? What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean that's the one thing right there. If you're a Spurs fan, you're hoping, hey, first of all, they're not starting off at MSG where they can just kind of be fueled by the crowd. They're going to have to go into San Antonio and get themselves back in rhythm a little bit. And so it'll be interesting. I think usually though, when you see a team sweep the series before, like the Knicks just did, go up against a team, in this instance the Spurs, who went to seven. History says that really does benefit the team that had a ton of that rest and was able to sweep the series before.
KNC asked us for predictions. Wolchuk, you took New York in seven? New York in seven,
I went,
right?
Knicks in six.
Knicks in six.
Do I feel good about it?
Bleep,
absolutely not, but
I'm going
with it.
I'm going Spurs in five, Lucius. Spurs in six. Spurs in six. Chief?
I'm going to go Spurs in seven.
Spurs in seven. That would be awesome. Brian?
Yeah, I think this thing is probably going to go seven. I'll go with the Spurs as well. I do trust Sean Sweeney having a plan for that for our point guard over there with the Knicks.
Brunson for
sure. Kind of have an idea, a little familiarity, maybe how to play him a little bit. So I'm thinking that Sweeney's going to come up with a pretty decent plan. Both teams are going to get after. This should be a really, really good series.
I was talking with Spitzy before the show, and he said there's Stars fans who, he's intimately aware of because of his podcast and everything. He's a big hockey guy, and he's like, there's some Stars fans out there insisting that this is a critical move for the Stars, and they're turning their backs on their fan base by moving north, and maybe this is going to massively impact attendance. And heck, if you got thoughts on that, we'd love to hear from you if you want to agree or disagree with that thought. But I think I agree with Wolchuk. It's overblown. I think it's inconvenient for some fans that might live very close to the AAC and they've built their lives around downtown.
Yeah.
But, when I'm cruising around downtown, it's not like Sports Fan Central, and that's, it's just different. Like, if you want to look at where the disposable income is and the sports fans are, typically they're in more suburban areas.
Right.
So I think it's actually a great business move for the Stars. I just hope that their fans, in the end, get treated to a better overall experience. So, 5 years from now, they'll say it's worth it, and maybe I fought it at first, but I'm glad they're there now.
Where's the Stars fan base predominantly from? We say the suburbs, but
Frisco, Plano.
Frisco, Plano, and all that?
The Stars Center is in Frisco. I mean, that's where they practice.
So, I mean, they're not a
I don't know what they have on the heat map.
How far west do they go?
Spittle asked his Stars guest, did you heat map this? And they said yes. They didn't get any more specifics beyond that.
Okay.
It's believed that is one of their hot zones.
Okay. Well, that makes absolute sense then if that's what they're trying to do. I know when we were at Mexican Bar, they were very excited about the prospects of having the team there and all that. I can understand
that. And they're
going to
build like a 20,000-unit living area around that? Like, it's going to be a place with tons of built-in fans.
Well, the AAC does have those apartments across the parking lot, right?
Yeah.
I always thought it'd be cool to live in a city where I could walk to the game. And literally now where the Mavs are, where the Mavs are going to the Valley View Project, I could walk to the games.
Yeah.
That's how close they are. I'm on the other side of 635 off press, and that might be absolute hell. And was this in 31?
Yeah.
I might also be at the lake at that time, too. So, but literally right now, if the Mavs open up their place, I could walk to the games. It's that close. So I can imagine. I always wanted to be the guy that lived in a city where I could go. Like, the great thing about living in Philly was how close all their stadiums were.
Mm-hmm.
So if you wanted to go check out hockey, you want to go check
it's
out
all right
baseball,
there.
It's all right there. I saw, I did one time, I did Philly baseball game for a couple innings and then watched the Flyers play against the Sabres.
Oh, that's pretty badass.
In the same day.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I just walked across the street and did it.
Jeff, Mike, and I did Army-Navy and then 76ers.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
And it was like a 12-win Philadelphia team. But,
right.
It was literally right across the street.
Right. Yeah, all their stadiums are just right there. So I can imagine, like, the people that live at Wrigleyville and the people that live down in Boston by Fenway Park.
Sure.
These downtown stadiums seem kind of cool. I know one thing in Baltimore, I was staying right across the street from Camden Yards, and literally, like, you could see into this from center field, the view there. So if they make it through it the right way, they could get a kind of a young group to live over there and support
sure.
them.
I think
right?
a big thing will be the public transportation.
Huge.
Like the dart spin, massive. Yeah. I mean, that's been such a convenience. You know, you could even take it from Parker Road and Plano to Victory Plaza. So that's something they're going to have to do something about that, whether that's building new lines, you know, extending the dart or whoever it is that you're taking from Fort Worth to help them get there. That will be the big thing. But overall, man, I just believe if you want to go to a game enough, you're going to go. And somebody in the Metroplex is going to be screwed no matter what. It's sad to see the AC go, but I think it's going to be ultimately a good thing for the
Metroplex.
What
are they going to do with that property, they said?
I think the Wings are going to play there.
Oh, is that the Wings? That's the, I mean, the Wings?
I don't know.
Nest?
I mean, it's still probably a great venue for concerts.
Did I say that right?
Kind of like Choctaw Stadium now. I'm sure they'll be able to use it for other things.
That's kind of... The AAC is not a bad place to watch
a
sport
event.
Why are we're kind of jumping around? I grew up with Reunion Arena.
Yeah.
That was kind of small, intimate kind of a thing. And then now, you know, I'm like, the AAC, oh, this is kind of cool. Saw opening day of the Eagles there when it opened up. I thought, oh, this is really cool. And now we're like, okay, well, let's have a couple of stadiums somewhere else, you know?
It's wild how the revenue streams add up to so much more if you can start from scratch and build the perfect amount of suites and allowing for the retail space.
Yeah.
And it's weird that they're going to spend a couple of billion dollars on this building, but it's worth it to them because they'll more than make up for it over the next decade.
I wonder if you sat down and had a couple of cocktails with the people that, you know, with Jerry and that, maybe not Jerry or Steven, but somebody that came up with the idea of the Star, if they wonder if that really materialized like they thought it was going to be, you know, with all the shops and, I mean, D. Lincoln's over there. So you got some quality places, quality tents, but I really wonder if it was everything that they thought it was going to be. When you add retail and all that, you'd probably have some people say, we probably overthought this a little too much, probably needed to think about this, you
well
know?
And that's also a practice facility. I think when you have like the games, people are inevitably going to go there. Like what's exciting to go stand outside the practice facility, whereas when they're having the game, of course, okay, I'm going to the game and I'm going to eat around there and hang out around there.
I'd know one thing. When I was in Chicago, I was there at that place called the Cubby Bear. And I was sitting there drinking Old Style and eating dollar hot dogs. And I'm thinking, why am I going to go into that place? It's really feel. I'm like, why am I?
Oh, is that good?
Yeah, I'm like, why are we? What? The games are on. And they're like, no, you got to go over there. And I'm like, wait, but it's dollar hot dogs and dollar Old Style over here.
All right, we got to run. We'll get you updated on everything that needs updating. We got the champ on the other side. Then Woolchuck's top 10, buddy. Where are you taking us?
All right, we've got the top 10 blockbuster NFL trades in honor of Myles Garrett. That's next in the Nation.
All right, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan, and it's time now for the Top 10 and the Champ. Segment's brought to you by The Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call The Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. We go into the Pimp Cup now. Here's Lucius, Champ.
All right, G-Bag of the Day. We do it every weekday on The Fan at 5:30. Replay the Champ right about here. The Champ is... from a segment we do on Fridays called What You Drinking and What You Thinking. A lot of Tolo callers call in. We like to have the new Tolo's caller call in, by the way. We like that. But Polo called in and Brad has had enough of him. This is going for two today at 5:30.
This is a deserving champ. One of the best champs we've ever had.
You stand on this one.
I stand on this one.
Top gold right here, baby. Polo
I
and Garland.
I stand on it with both feet.
Let's go to Polo and Garland. What are you drinking? What are you thinking, Polo?
Man, I just came from Outback Steakhouse out in Mesquite. Y'all don't ever go there.
You're gonna bitch about the service. There's no kidding about that, right?
Is that AI, Brian?
You're like America's food critic. You're like the Michelin guy.
They gave me some meat that wasn't done all the way.
Yeah. You need to pick better restaurants. Then it's always their fault.
But are you okay today? I'm
great,
man.
No, I'm great, man. You always come on bitching about restaurants. That's all we ever hear, bitching about restaurants.
Okay, service. I haven't said anything about the criminal ACC.
Whatever. Yeah, keep it going.
Anyway,
keep it moving.
I kind of talked to my homeboy, Gavin. What's up, Gavin?
What's up?
I ain't talking about you guys first.
Yeah. What's up, Gavin? What's up? Yeah, stick around 5:30. That's going to go against some nominees. One of them is going to be Dr. Candace Matthews out of Houston.
Oh,
she held a press conference a couple of weeks ago where she was holding up a woman's garments.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
And they were soiled.
No. Oh, no. They were soiled.
Soiled garments.
Soiled.
It's a good tease.
The way that you delivered that
she
was
held
incredible.
A whole press conference. There was a press out there for this. Wow. Embarrassing.
That wasn't Walchuk's undies from last week?
Yeah. I'll be right back, guys.
Dude, why do you got to bring up old stuff?
Speaking of teases, do you think we get a response from Polo Friday at 5?
100%.
Oh, yeah.
What you drinking? What you thinking?
Or he'll just have something else.
It is amazing how Brian challenged him.
I went some wing plays. Service off with the wing plays. Brian, you hate black people? Okay. Yeah, I hate black people. I date one, okay? I'm sorry. I hate black people, yeah.
Well, dating one doesn't clear you. You know that, right?
I know, but I just...
Thomas Jefferson was in his bag.
Let me tell you this. I'm not Thomas Jefferson. I'm not a congressman. I'm just a guy.
Yeah.
Just a guy.
Just a guy.
You're who had black teammates, you know, had get along. I fancy myself a
just because he likes to hit a racial angle doesn't mean it's purposely on anybody.
Every time.
You know, that's his bag.
It's not, it shouldn't be the bag.
There's a whole lot of people out here that's their bag.
Not every time, though. Not every time.
I can't beat the man up for not wanting to say the racial angle. It's not like we're bringing it up all the time.
I'm not. No. Listen, if it was a sometimes thing, I get it. It's an every time thing. He's asking me about stuff that, like, listen, I mean, you know, I'm just saying that. Why does it always have to be that? Why? You want to have a discussion? Call News Talk. Call somebody else about it. You know. Don't, I mean, listen, I could do without it.
He's holding your feet to the fire, man, week in, week out.
Brian, you hate black people.
Huh. Bye.
Yeah, bye. Bye. Don't eat here. I hate black people. Bye.
With that, it's time for Woolchuck's Top 10 at 220.
So if I bring up something black, you're going to be thinking I hate you guys?
No, not at all.
Okay.
I'm just saying, though, there's a place for discussion. There's a place. There's a place for discussion. There's absolutely a place for discussion.
I know.
Do you feel it's right to have it here every Friday, though?
It's not like he's on the mic all the time, bro.
He's here
he's
every
one
Friday.
Caller,
every
dog.
Friday.
I get it. It bothers
every
you.
Friday.
I get it.
Every
Friday. I get it.
Every Friday.
I get it.
All right. We good?
Are you okay?
I'm great.
All right.
I'm great.
Gravy, baby.
Yeah, I'm too.
All right. Well, top 10 blockbuster trades in NFL history.
You say blockbuster trades?
No, but I am excited for the black maxing segment that we're going to have here at 240. Oh, gosh. All right. Texas Tech. Because you guys know I am waving my Tech flag right
now. You got your Tech flags up.
Woo! Wreck 'em, baby! Guns up tonight as they take on the Horns. Actually, it's just great for the state of Texas. I mean, we're dominating softball right now. The Horns, the Red Raiders, and we also have the glorious back and forth. Joey McGuire is not stopping, okay? He just had a sit-down with Josh Pate, and he's still going after the Horns. He said, you know what? Look, I'm just hoping we can get back into the playoff and we play Texas round one because I know we're not going to play a week one because they're too damn scared.
He called him scared?
He did.
Wow.
He said it won't be Texas because they're scared. He's also teasing they're announcing a major 2027-2028 home-and-home with a major blue blood. That's in reference to Texas. It won't be them because they're scared. But reports from CBS Sports are teasing they might have a home-and-home schedule with Notre Dame, and then they'll play a neutral site game possibly against USC. So Tech is, I mean, they've heard the criticism, and rightly deserved. I mean, their schedule is a pretty easy schedule this year. They're playing nobody outside of the Big 12 that's really a high-caliber opponent. No disrespect to who they are playing, but this is one where Texas is. I mean, Texas has scheduled the home-and-home with Ohio State. They've done it with Michigan. Tech needs something like that on their schedule, so now they're working and efforting to do that. So USC, Notre Dame, those are the two teams that are rumored right now possibly to get Tech on the schedule here coming up soon. So that'll be fun.
Yeah.
And I'm excited for the game tonight. Now, last night we had an epic Stanley Cup Game 1. Did you guys pay any attention to this? I don't think you probably did.
No.
And that's okay.
I was locked in on Rangers, man.
I get it.
It's a good game.
That's why you got to have the multi-TV set up. And I had them rocking last night. It was incredible because this one, it took all but like 40 seconds. And Carolina, boom, on the board. They get up 2-0 in this game. Vegas storms back. Ultimately, they end up winning the game 5-4. They get a game-winning goal with 3:24 left in the third period. But teams that got down multiple goals in game one of a Stanley Cup final were 0-55 until last night as Vegas makes history. So they take a 1-0 series lead in the Stanley Cup final. And we look forward tonight for game one of the NBA finals. We'll talk with Tim Cato coming up at 4 o'clock. But let's get to it. The top 10 biggest blockbuster trades in NFL history as now Myles Garrett has had his press conference with the Rams. Jared Verse has had his with the Browns. And Verse just goes out there day one in practice, and he's rocking the number 8. Now, why is this a story? Well, Dylan Gabriel had number 8.
Mm.
And Myles Garrett jokingly was like, ha, 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 I think I'm going to be fine. I think I've got that number. I don't need to throw him any money. Dylan Gabriel's asked about it, and he was like, yeah, I was hoping I'd get a check or something, a little bit of cash before he just showed up to practice wearing the number 8. It's like, Dylan Gabriel, learn your damn place, okay? Why don't you do something in the NFL, and then we can talk about maybe we'll give you a little bit of coin here. Like, I get it. I'm annoyed with Kobe Durant. I'm like, dude, you've been in Dallas for 2 seconds, and now you want to hoard the number 2? But at least Kobe Durant has had some success in the NFL. Like, I understand it. Dylan Gabriel, come on, bro. You're probably going to be a water boy here, clipboard holder for the majority of your career.
I don't know. I'm more pro dibs. You know, I was always a big fan of calling dibs. I got a shotgun. Was shotgun a thing when you guys were in high school?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did you rock, paper, scissors for it, too? Though,
called dibs on the maple bar?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, it's the rock, paper, scissors.
Rock, paper, scissors can settle all disputes.
Yeah, if there's a tie.
Yeah.
You know, like if... If,
or you could rock, paper, scissors for the seat. If somebody else wants to sit up there, so you rock, paper, scissors
really?
For the
people.
Seat. Yeah.
But that's only if there's a simultaneous shotgun, right?
I would say if you want to, you should have rock, paper, scissors decide who sits there, even if there's no tie.
Huh.
That's what I would
Okay.
do. That's what, I mean, I've driven with like 3 people, and so 2 people, rock, paper, scissors, see sits up front. Unless it's like Chief or myself that gets car sick, you know, we have to sit up front.
Yeah,
it's one of those things.
I got a doctor's note for the front seat. Okay.
Yeah.
That's what
everyone
I got.
Else step aside. I'm prescribed.
I'm credentialed, baby.
This is my seat. All right, here are the top 10 biggest blockbuster trades in the history of the National Football League. And this is courtesy of Bleacher Report. So there's probably going to be some that they've left out here because that happens with Bleacher Report top 10s, right? I know. They're not my go-to, but this one was topical.
I mean, I do think we're probably, unless there's some light that gets shed here, I feel like Myles Garrett being traded is the best player to ever be traded.
The best player to ever be traded.
In any sport?
That's interesting.
No, no, in the NFL.
No, you said it.
In the NFL.
you stand on
he's
that,
He's a
okay?
reigning defensive player of the year. He's been...
Yeah, he just broke the sack record.
Yeah, like I don't know how you could get somebody off a better season, and this isn't just like flash in the pan, oh my gosh, we just met Myles Garrett being a stud player. He's been for his entire career in the conversation as the best defensive player in the league. And he's off his best season. Like, Randy Moss was down at that point.
He was down.
We're just talking about NFL.
It wasn't at the height of his powers. Now, he was in Oakland
Did
with the
Minnesota
Raiders.
Did Minnesota trade him to Oakland?
You got a Reggie White trade to throw out, Brian?
You know?
No, Reggie White was a signing. We traded for Brett Favre, but he wasn't Brett Favre.
He wasn't serious. Yeah, he wasn't.
He wasn't Brett Favre.
He wasn't Brett Favre.
Oh, he said it about 12 times there for you.
Brett Favre.
But we.
Mama gave me an unplugged text. Mama took me 5 unplugged text. Want to stay hungry for the Crimson Tide. All right, let me just rip through this list.
No, Tom Brady was not traded to the Bucs. That was a free agent.
No, he was a free agent.
Peyton Manning, same thing.
Okay, let's go through some of these names and we'll see if. I think you're right based on the list that I'm looking at here, but there's a couple of big names. The Panthers at 10, trading Christian McCaffrey to the Niners.
Mm.
That was for a 2023 second and third, plus fourth and fifth round picks for CMC. Number 9 is the Colts trading Marshall Faulk to the Rams. That's a pretty big one.
Yeah. Yeah, there's been a couple of those, I think, involving the Colts over the years. You're probably going to mention Eric Dickerson as well.
Yes, Eric Dickerson will be on here. Vegas, Khalil Mack to the Bears. That was for a first and a sixth, and then a 2021 first and third. Eric Dickerson, 7. Dickerson to the Colts.
Wow, there's six bigger than the Eric Dickerson trade. That was maybe one of the biggest of my youth.
That's huge. And Eric Dickerson, was he in his prime then when they made that trade?
Yeah.
Six is the Cowboys trading Micah to Green Bay. Five is the Browns trading Myles Garrett to the Rams.
Wait a minute. You're going to tell me that you're going to give me the Denver, you're going to give me the Denver Commanders trade, aren't you?
Champ Bailey, Clinton Portis.
No, that's a great trade. That's not on here. Oh, wow. I think that absolutely could be a talking point here. Some of these were bad ones, but just were like, you know, at the time, huge, massive moves that you just didn't see happen. Like four is Russell Wilson to the Broncos, which, yes, that ended up working out terribly, but Russell Wilson at the time was still thought of as like huge deal, Super Bowl winner, reigning Super Bowl champs. Then they trade, boom, here he goes to Denver. That worked out. I mean, it ended up being a fleece for Seattle. They got a first, a second, a fifth, and a 2023 first and second. My gosh. You got two ones and two twos in that trade? That's incredible.
With just three to go, though, I feel like there's a pretty good chance we're looking at a couple of trades involving at least former Cowboys.
There is one, for sure. Three is the Deshaun Watson trade, which was a huge trade. You had the Texans giving up a one, or getting back a one. How many ones did they end up getting? Two ones, two fours, a three. They ended up getting three ones. They got a 2022 first, a 23 first, and a 24 first out of that. Two is the starting quarterback swap, and this is pretty huge, and it's had massive ripple effects to the history of the game. But Goff and Stafford getting swapped from the Lions and the Rams. But one is the Herschel Walker trade.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Eli Manning was traded.
Manning was traded.
Oh, yeah. A draft day.
2004.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, old Chuck.
Thank you.
Top 10 is in the books as we turn the page now to a little more ball maxing.
Yeah. What is the better story for the NBA? The Knicks ending the drought or Wemby winning his first ring? 877-881-1053. That's next year in the nation.
Thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. YouTube announced FIFA is going to put all the World Cup matches live streamed for free on the Fox One YouTube channel. So if you're looking for how am I going to get these World Cup games start in a week and a half, bang.
That's cool.
For free, all the games streaming. Here's Chief with your ball, Maxon.
Yes, sir. What's the better story here as we approach game one of the finals? First, we go live to Brian Broaddus here in studio.
Should we all, like, adopt a country and that's our team? Like, I know we're
a
all
second gonna, team?
Yeah, second yeah. team. Okay. Should we all, like, just adopt?
Yes. We should do something.
Yeah, we should do something where, like, yeah.
Like draft teams. Like,
okay, so I was actually thinking about this the other day.
The highest finisher, like, the lowest finisher, how about this? The lowest finisher has to brisket Sandoz or something
well,
like that.
Well, so I was going to.
I thought we were going to eat ladybugs.
Okay, yeah. I think that there are some people that miss the bet payoffs. So if you remember, I think it was about 10 years ago this time.
I owe about 12 of them.
Roy White did Roy Eats the World.
Yeah.
World
so
Cup.
I was thinking we do, like, I don't know, we can do bet payoffs. Maybe we're selecting certain teams, whatever it might be. But then you've got to, like, eat some disgusting blend of, like, foods from said country.
Sounds amazing.
Roy was doing it.
Sounds delicious, man. Great idea.
He was doing it for countries.
It's supposed to be terrible. It's a bet payoff,
no,
right?
I'm kidding, dude. It sounds awful, but
I love
it. Don't
like it, though, but we don't have to do it.
No.
I was just throwing it out. I didn't think there were any bad answers.
It's good for the audience. You know?
He was doing it for the...
Give it a whack for the ladies.
Amen, Roy. Never forget.
He was doing it. That's always a good one. He was doing it for the countries that were playing the U.S., right?
I think so. Is that what it was?
Yeah,
I was interning
opponents.
With you guys at the time.
I know.
It seemed like there was more than the games, though. It seemed like he maybe did it 10 times or something.
Well,
like that.
I think it was like, did he pick a team and then they? Well, we got.
I think he was doing it for the U.S.
The opponents,
the U.S.
Start,
team, the ladies.
The ladies
kept advancing.
Okay.
So it became an every week bit.
I did like it though. I thought it was a good bit, and he had to eat some disgusting things.
Yeah.
They were blended up.
Yeah, like that, yeah.
Exactly. Like delicacies from their country that we probably would think are disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm in. This segment's for the ladies as well. It's ball max.
Now there's a new trend called ball maxing.
Everybody has a preference. Some guys like them round, and some guys like them thin. Some guys like them tacky. Some guys like them brand new. Some guys like old balls. I mean, they're all different.
Do you still think the balls are juiced?
All right, we have NBA Finals game number one. This has been the most watched playoffs in a very, very, very long time. Apparently, allegedly, according to the powers that be. You have the Knicks. You have Wemby. Okay? What do you think the NBA is rooting for here? What is the better story for your NBA champion? Is it the Knicks ending the drought?
It's the Knicks.
Or do we love the conversation every year? Can the Knicks finally get it done? Obviously, they're in the finals now, and this is as close as they've been in a very long time. Or is it the new era of a potential, maybe new young dynasty and the new face of the NBA in Wemby getting his first ring at an age that is pretty rare to do it, and now you have something to build on when it comes to the Spurs here over the next half decade plus? Or I think the national media loves the Knicks stuff. I think ESPN is probably rooting for the Knicks to do this, because it seems like there's such an East Coast bias when it comes to a lot of the national sports entities. But what do you guys think is the better? You're going no-brainer, it's the Knicks?
Yeah, it's the Knicks. Because it's what, Gavin, you said during crosstalk. Like, they're similar to the Cowboys in the NFL. Like, ultimately, I think the NFL would love the Cowboys to get back to the Super Bowl. Like, it in terms of revenue and sales. And like, the Cowboys are top in merchandise sales for not even being there in 30 years. Can you imagine what happens when they win one? I think the Knicks would be the same thing.
I think we are all looking forward to a parade with the Canyon of Champions, a ticker tape parade through the city. That's what I think. I think the NBA would like to see that again. You know, when that's that whole thing happens, those parades that go through New York City and stuff are like legendary.
There's just 20 million people there, you know, and in the San Antonio area, what is there, 2.5-3 million? Yeah. So it's like 6 or 7 times as many, and you want to fish in the lake with the most fish. I listened to an NFL podcast out of New York, and actually they opened up their episode a couple of days ago talking about the Knicks, and all three of them said, I really haven't paid that much attention since 99. You know, so I think they need to reignite that fan base. There is definitely a huge portion of New York that loves the Knicks, and they're maniacs and they're great. But I think they want to like triple that horde, you know, make it
100%. I get it. I don't know. I just don't know how much they love the conversation of every year. Like we talk about the Cowboys. Lucius, I know you have some Knicks family members.
Absolutely, man. The other half of my family is from Queens, New York, Jamaica, Queens.
So is that a no-brainer for you that the Knicks?
It's not a no-brainer, bro. Okay. I'm really thinking it's the Spurs. I think the NBA will want the Spurs.
Hey.
You've got the new face of the NBA while LeBron is kind of leaving.
Right.
We've got a guy that we've all created before, a phenom. I think they would want that situation. And you're starting a dynasty again, maybe down there.
Sure.
That's what I would think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because who's the face of the NBA if it's not Wemby, if he gets a championship?
Ooh. It's tough. I mean, you still might pivot back to LeBron or something like that. But
this man is on his retirement phase.
Yeah.
You got a new guy we can bank on.
Exactly.
And he's marketable, too. Great dude off the court, on the court, a monster.
And you're already getting a tremendous amount of engagement in New York.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the finals is the top, but what percentage of does a trip to the finals get you that same level of excitement?
Right.
Yeah, I guess the question is really, like, Wemby's expected to be here for a while. So the dynasty angle I get, but, like, I think the expectation is Wemby's not going anywhere. For the Knicks, like, goodness gracious, this might be it.
Either one's a big win.
That's a great point.
I think they just want a great series with lead changes in the second half going to 7.
I think the it's interesting. I don't know. Did you guys see this? They had the deal. Like, the get-in price of this game for the Knicks is $4,400. And that's the get-in price.
God,
and if you added up the remaining Yankees, Mets, Giants, and Jets tickets for the year, it's less than $4,400.
That's awesome, dude.
For get in.
That is crazy.
So just one game. So that should tell you what this city thinks about the Knicks.
Well, did you see? Damn. So the NYPD had put a ban on the Knicks watch parties directly outside of Madison Square Garden, where you see all
this straight chaos out there, bro. They've been fighting everything. They've been climbing on top of Madison Square Garden, and you're not even in the finals yet,
dude. That's for taking down the Hawks in round one.
No.
So they had to put a ban on it because it was just too chaotic. It was too chaotic outside of MSG. They're lobbing trash bags at each other, trash bag grenades, dude. So they've had to put a halt to
fans of the same team?
These are infighting of all sorts. Yes.
Wow.
It's kind of a no holds bar
situation.
Yeah,
when the Knicks lost, they started fighting each other out there at the watch party.
Man. Yeah.
It was falling apart, bro.
One guy went full Puka, bit another dude.
Oh, my gosh.
So, but now the NYPD has lifted the ban. Okay.
Oh, they did?
So just specifically for game one, they're sort of testing the waters. Can Knicks fans contain themselves enough to be granted another opportunity? So they have the permits for just game one, and then they'll kind of see where it goes. Because if they win, they could burn the city down. If they lose, they could burn the city down.
We're going to have some John Blaze tomorrow, Lucius.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, win, lose, or draw. I mean, it is great content from the Knicks fans, unless, of course, you're on damage control duty out there outside of MSG and you're trying to get these rabid Knicks fans to get home in a safe manner. So we'll see tonight. There will be, as game one is in San Antonio, you'll have a contingency of Knicks fans outside of the Garden watching on the big screens, and we'll just see if the chaos ensues, or can they hold their water enough to earn a Game 2 MSG watch party.
Yeah, right.
The odds are not right in their favor. There's not a soul in America that is betting on Knicks fans being mature enough to handle tonight's Game 1.
I think the fact that it's San Antonio and not OKC probably increases their chances of it having go fairly off without a hitch, but it's still in the single digits. If Knicks fans had to watch the Shea flopping deal after the last 2 years of discussion around that, and then they would have gotten blown out while Shea was flopping, I think that would have triggered them into their own personal hell. And maybe San Antonio's physical play, like if they're not getting the whistle, could trigger them. There's a lot of trigger warnings for Knicks fans.
Plenty of them. And you have Jeremy Sochan, who used to be on the Spurs. He's now with the Knicks. He thinks he has the scouting report for Wemby. He says, being that tall, he gets tired. Okay, give him different looks. Not beat him up, but be very physical, but make him run. He's going to get tired. He's going to have to take some plays off, in my opinion.
Like
that's
Ant-Man.
From a former Spurs player.
Ant-Man versus and the Wasp. Remember that? He fell into the bay. Because he was so big, he got tired when he made himself supersized.
You need like a Rip Hamilton guy who just runs in circles all the time.
Absolutely.
And maybe Josh Hart will be that guy, because I think Wemby's going to spend a lot of time on Josh Hart. Josh Hart just needs to go do some cardio. Yeah.
This is like J.J. Barea
for 48
LeBron,
minutes.
The LeBron stopper himself.
It bro, I thought tight. You were talking about Anthony Edwards, man. I was like, what's going on? What happened? Dang.
I was too. I was like, oh, wait, they're talking about that character.
When did Anthony Edwards get tired? Oh, yeah.
Okay. Watching the Marvel movies. It was Captain Marvel last night.
It was a gal.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I thought the end was better.
Yeah, she pissed a lot of people off, so they kind of had to phase her out.
Did she?
Yeah.
I mean, she just doesn't move athletic enough to be convincing as a superhero. I'm like, I get it. Her butt looks good in those jeans.
Yeah.
Right?
Also,
can we do some cinematography to make her look quicker? what was the complaint
so
with
her? So I'm cute?
I think she was very outspoken about certain political issues.
Oh.
And so Marvel was like, and Disney was like, we gotta
put the
tell her to call in
on
Friday, man.
We got one down, three to go. Jared Sandler joining in next here. That we'll get preview for as the Rangers go for the sweep tonight. Cards and Rangers on 105 The Fan.